This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up Saturday, kicked off Wisconsin Bike Week, but Wisconsin just dropped from number 2 to number 9 in the latest rankings of the most bike-friendly states. We'll find out why and what advocates say needs to happen to move back up in the rankings.
But now it's time for Wisconsin Life. June is wedding month. Ken Szymanski used to DJ weddings on the side in Eau Claire. He recalls one of his last gigs and the crowds and his unwillingness to let the night end.
This dance, as well as my wedding DJ career, was supposed to end an hour ago. I started this job 17 years ago as a way to make spare money on weekends. I quit for good several times and have stayed retired for most of the 10 years I've been married. But now I'm back again at a rustic northern Wisconsin resort one last time as a favor for friends. There's no other civilization for miles. Here there is music, free beer, and a major life event. They're not going anywhere. How many encores are too many? We tried to end back at midnight with Sweet Caroline, but the crowd got the one more song chant going, and we couldn't stop there. Later, I tried to end again after Piano Man, then more chanting, more dance music, and finally, the apparent closing group sing-along, Hey Jude. The groom says to cut it off after this one, but when confronted by the chanting crowd and his own groomsmen, he gives me the sign to keep going. I want the night to end with a grand finale, but it's like predicting the stock market. No one knows when the peak hits until it's too late. At this point, there aren't any top-tier dance songs left. Somebody asks for Journey's Don't Stop Believin'. This isn't even dance music, but with the push of a button, the crowd is full of air keyboards, air guitars, and with raised fists, raised drinks, they're singing themselves hoarse. My wife has taken my two sons, amped up on kitty cocktails and glow sticks, back to the hotel room. My 7-year-old begged to stay longer, but his little brother was, like my sound system's amplifier, past the max and headed for a meltdown. One groomsman slaps a 20 on the sound system. Keep it going, he says. Only the really, really good stuff from here on out. Finally, an hour after the official end of the dance, the bartender notifies me that the facility is shutting down. Fulfilling one last desperate drunken request, I play Sweet Caroline again. The families and friends sing along like they haven't heard this song in a decade. Last call comes and goes. The bar closes. I reluctantly shut down the system. People who can hardly stand start planning after parties. After packing up, I walk through the parking lot thinking about how this gig was one of the all-time best and how maybe that would be the one to end on. For good this time. Then a guy with a crooked tie points at me and shouts, Hey, microphone guy! He pauses to focus, then slurs, You're good at that! That parking lot compliment might be the capstone of my career, a sincere, intoxicated epitaph. I get back to the hotel room, and my family has all crashed. It's completely dark, except for my 3-year-old son's illuminated face. Clutching a green glow stick, he sleeps, still unwilling, or unable, to let it go.
Ken Szymanski teaches English at South Middle School in Eau Claire. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television, in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org.
So the wedding DJ is in charge of keeping the party going at the reception, but they're not the star. That's, the people getting married. But at dance clubs and huge arenas, the DJ, a lot of times, the main attraction.
And our next guest has been a DJ for 20-plus years. Nick Nice is a Madison-based DJ who's toured the world performing with internationally known artists like Daft Punk and Deadmau5, and he joins us now in studio. Nick, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me here.
So when did you first decide, I'm going to try my hand at being a DJ?
Well, I had been buying records for a real long time since I was a little kid, basically buying 45s, and kind of amassed a real large collection of music. And then when I was in high school, used to make like actual mixtapes for people. And one of my friends said, you've got so many records, why don't you do something with them? And so sort of, got one turntable. So I had a turntable and a tape deck, which didn't really work so well, but it was a good challenge. And anyway, so yeah, just started DJing and met a friend who had recently moved from New York, and he had a big collection of hip hop records and whatnot, and sort of introduced me to a whole other world that, you know, back then, this is in like 1985 or so, you didn't have the internet, so you couldn't access it. So, you know, we used to throw like house parties and, you know, do DJ events and whatnot. And then, I went to Paris for my junior year abroad and just happened to be there when like the whole rave scene was starting and everything. And that was when I was like, you know, this is what I want to do. I knew to finish school. But it was just, there was just a couple moments where I'm like, this is like definitely what I want to do, and just haven't really looked back since.
So what's it like being on stage around Europe, Paris, and elsewhere, being the DJ in the 90s as the scene is getting going?
Well, you know, it's funny because now, you know, at the time, you know, it was just parties and we're just doing our thing. And then, you know, now with all the hindsight and Daft Punk being international stars and David Guetta and whatnot, you know, we were just kind of doing our thing. So it's just no one really thought it would be like as big as it's become. I mean, it's pretty awesome. I mean, back then it was more, you know, now I think when you go to an event, people are all sort of facing the DJ. Whereas back then it was much more of just like a party and everyone's kind of dancing with each other. And so that's the biggest like difference. So I would say like now when you're on stage, whereas back then you're kind of on the dance floor with everybody too. So, it was a little bit, I mean, even though you're controlling the party, you were just as much a part of the party, you know?
Yeah, how has that changed things for you? Do you like that shift that suddenly there's this laser-like focus on you now?
Yeah, no, I don't like it, to be honest. I mean, I prefer being more a part of the party, you know, because you can interact with people more. It's just, I don't know, it's more communal and, you know, and it, I mean, it depends on what you're doing. You know, if you have like a crazy light show behind you or whatnot, and you know, like Deadmau5 has his helmet and he's got all that. I mean, that's more of a theatrical performance. But, you know, what I do is more about the, you know, the party and just creating the general vibe and whatnot, you know.
So the D in DJ is for disc,
right?
Right, mm-hmm. A turntable, and is that still the preferred state of the art, or what's the technology?
That's a good question. I mean, when I started, obviously it was two turntables and a mixer, and you know, it was vinyl and everything, and then you know, CDs came along. I never really got so into CDs, but now you know, there's a vinyl resurgence, so there's definitely like a scene of people that do only play vinyl. Primarily, it's more people using the Pioneer CDJs, and they use like a USB flash drive that goes in there, and they play tracks off of that, or some of the digital software. Like I use Serato's Scratch Live, and there's also Traktor too. And what those programs do is it allows you to access your digital files using either a turntable or a CD player. So it's sort of the same style of what you're doing. You know, for me, like growing up playing vinyl, I'm still comfortable with how I'm doing it, you know. But now there's really, you know, when I talk to younger people that are wanting to get into DJing, I don't even know what to tell them, because it's like there's so many options out there, you know, and there's no right or wrong way. To me, it's more like, are you able to read the crowd? Can you, you know, make the party and dance for a go? I don't care what you're using to achieve that. You know, there is definitely some snobbery involved with the vinyl purists, so to speak, you know. But, and I do think the sound, I mean, there's something to be said for the sound of vinyl, and just that tactile, you know, when you're in the mix and the records are blending up together, it's just kind of this magic moment, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you know when it's going really well, when you're having a really good night, the crowd's going well? Do you get into kind of this super flow state where it's just all just happening effortlessly?
Pretty much, yeah. It's like you almost have to be a bit psychic, I say, when you're DJing, because it's all, you're reading the mood of the crowd. If you're playing somewhere where you maybe, you know, a few people there, you know, like, okay, like they like that song, or, you know, you throw songs out to people, and then that sort of like people vibe off of that energy, I guess you could say. So yeah, when you're having a good night, it's almost as if the songs just come to you, you know. When I was playing records, it used to always be the sleeves would just kind of like float out. Like, this is what has to be played next. You know? So digitally, it's a little bit different. It can be daunting because you have so many choices in front of you.
Yeah.
I imagine you sometimes get the request from the audience member that just doesn't fit the scene. How do you deal with that?
Well, it depends on the venue. Usually, you know, I'm just kind of polite and it's like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't take any requests and whatnot. Sometimes people are very persistent. But, you know, in that you can always just do that. Okay, I'll see what I can do. Or, you know, I mean, one of the advantages to vinyl is you can say, well, I just don't have that on record.
Oh,
they
nice.
Don't make it. So, like, I have friends that do that, and that's, like, the best excuse.
Yeah, it's got to be dangerous with the internet. Like, yeah, you do have it. It's on the internet.
Yeah, well, now I say there's no Wi-Fi. That's, that usually. Well, and then people think you can play things off of YouTube, not realizing that the audio quality of YouTube videos is not, you can't play that on a sound system. So, or people come up and they give you their phone, like, can you just play it off my phone? So it's a bit of that. But, you know, I think people have gotten a little bit better with it now.
So you've gotten a tour around the world. You've toured Europe before. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you haven't done that you really want to do that would be sort of like the brass ring of DJing?
Jeez, that's a good question. Let's see. I mean, I haven't DJed any funerals or bar mitzvahs yet as far as like crazy gigs. But I don't know. I mean, I can't think of anything. I mean, I've done like a lot. I've been lucky I've been lucky to be in the right place, right time for a lot of like scenes that have just been starting and whatnot, you know. And the thing is, you don't realize it at the time that you're part of something that people are going to be writing about in books and talking about, you know, 20 years later.
Sounds amazing. Nick, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Nick Nice is a Madison-based DJ who performs regularly in venues large and small.
He's evidently available for funerals and bar mitzvahs.